Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News. I'm Lance Pry. A field hearing in Manhattan, New York this morning by Republicans in the House Judiciary Committee is expected to contend that Democrat D.A. Alvin Bragg is focusing on former President Trump instead of crime. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says New York City is the safest big city in America.
The safest big city in America. And that is often a loss when you see a dangerous act highlighted. My job as mayor is to make sure New Yorkers and visitors feel safe in our city. And we're doing that. We're doing that every day.
A witness scheduled to appear is Jennifer Harrison on Fox News This Morning responds.
It's reprehensible and it's completely out of touch with reality.
The start of a trial in Dominion Voting System's $1.6 billion defamation suit against Fox News is being delayed by one day.
Judge Eric Davis announced that the trial will get underway Tuesday as opening arguments had previously been scheduled for Monday. Dominion is suing the network over claims their voting machines were rigged during the 2020 election. Last week, the judge imposed a sanction against Fox News after it allegedly withheld evidence and made misrepresentations to the court. Fox Corporation Chairman Rupert Murdoch is reportedly expected to be called to testify. I'm Skip Kelly.
At least four people were killed and 28 others injured in a mass shooting at a Sweet 16 birthday party in Dadeville, Alabama. That's about an hour's drive northeast of Montgomery. The shooting happened Saturday night in Dadeville, a city of about 3,000 residents. No arrests have been made. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist Seymour Hersh is reporting Ukraine President Zelensky and several other top Ukrainian officials reportedly embezzled hundreds of millions of dollars in American aid that was supposed to go towards purchasing diesel fuel. The report claims Zelensky has been purchasing discount diesel from Russia with American money and hoarding the leftover funds. This is USA News.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is a need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
A Louisiana senator thinks a federal judge's ruling on the abortion pill mifepristone is being misconstrued.
Senator Dr. Bill Cassidy on NBC's Meet the Press said the basis for removing FDA approval of the pill had to do with the drug's accelerated pathway to approval.
I think what is important is that we have a political process by which we resolve these issues. That particular ruling seems to be going through, it was on a process-oriented thing. Among the reasons that they ruled that way, I'm told, is that the FDA did not follow correctly the Administrative Procedures Act.
Cassidy said the accelerated pathway applies to drugs that treat an illness and that it's a stretch to call pregnancy an illness. I'm John Schaefer.
Former lawmaker in India's parliament, Atiq Ahmed, convicted of kidnapping, was shot dead along with his brother while police were escorting them for a medical checkup. The slaying was broadcast on live television Saturday. Police quickly detained three men suspected of carrying out the slayings. Media reports say the assailants were posing as journalists. It's a big day for SpaceX with a historic launch this morning.
The world's biggest rocket is expected to blast off from South Texas on the first unmanned test flight of what SpaceX calls a fully integrated spacecraft known as Starship. It's designed to land people on the moon in 2025. After orbiting Earth, Starship is expected to splash down near Hawaii. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated as we get this Monday underway. Lance Pry, USA News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez with you. Happy Monday. Good to have you with us as we start a week of remembrance, as we commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Holocaust. And Dan McMillan is back with us. Dan, as you may have realized, and if you were listening to the show several months back, we had a discussion about his new book, How Could This Happen?, explaining the Holocaust, and we thought it'd be a perfect time to have Dan back so we can review what happened 80 years after the fact. The thing that's amazing to me is when you think about what was going on in Germany at the time, realize that Hitler did not seize power in a coup, and Hitler was not directly elected to power. Hitler and the Nazi Party came to power through Germany's legal political processes. Dan McMillan joins us now. Dan, welcome back. Good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you again.
Well, here we are, commemorating, remembering what happened 80 years ago. And as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, what was Germany like prior to Hitler and prior to what we know as the Holocaust?
Well, you know, I think what you can see, on the right wing of German politics, you can see already starting in the 1890s, sort of radical aggressive nationalism and anti-Semitism being part of the playbook of the right wing of German politics. The basic context was that Germany, unlike United States, France, or England, was a semi-authoritarian constitutional monarchy where the elected parliament had little power, and the kind of principal tools that Germany's ruling class, very conservative ruling class, had for trying to contain the rise of the Socialist Party was to say effectively to Germans, let's not focus on class differences between working class and upper class. Let's focus on the fact that we're all Germans. And one way of focusing on the fact that we're all Germans is that these Jews among us are an alien race. They don't have German blood. They have another kind of blood of sort of genetic markers, and they are destructive, and they are setting us against each other. And this also built on was a widespread belief about the Jewish people, not just in Germany, but all over Europe and also in our country to a lesser extent, that Jews everywhere were the instigators of Marxism, and that there was a whole conspiracy theory that gained a lot of support, especially in the traumatic events following World War One, that Jews everywhere divided and conquered the societies in which they lived by setting class against class that Marxism was their tool of doing so. Mm-hmm. And this eventually is, this is sort of the particular strand of anti-Semitism that leads to the Holocaust. One of the reasons why Hitler invades the Soviet Union is he decides that the Soviet Union, being a Marxist government, is necessarily a Jewish government. It's the center of a worldwide Jewish Bolshevik conspiracy. And if he can crush the Soviet Union, he can banish the threat of communism forever. And that is probably the single most powerful sort of train of thought or sort of rationalization that all the perpetrators in the Holocaust told each other, mm-hmm. that by exterminating the Jewish people, they were banishing forever the threat of communism. So I've given you a kind of long answer, but I guess those are the most important things, you know, strands I would follow back from before Hitler took power to mm-hmm. kind of help explain what happens in the 1940s.
Well, my question also relates to the spiritual quotient of Germany at the time. Where was it spiritually?
I would say that the upper classes of Germany were by and large agnostic. Not all. I don't know. That's a very sweeping generalization. But mm-hmm. if you're referring to spirituality in the sense of organized religion, I think that one could make that case. One could mm-hmm. say that.
Well, what I'm getting at here is that was there, I mean, it just seems like there's a breakdown in the, I guess, the moral fiber of the citizenry. And part of that went hand in hand with the breakdown in terms of, you know, the strength of the church and how it folded. Because you hear stories, even to this day, how trains of Jews were, you know, traveling past churches. And church members would hear the Jews crying, and the pastors would say, just sing louder, to ignore, you know, what was going on in those cattle cars.
Well, I've never heard of a story that vivid, but it is on the money in the sense that really both major Christian denominations in Germany during the 1930s just completely folded to pressure from the authorities. In particular, they excluded from their houses of worship people of Jewish ancestry who had converted to Christianity. Often several generations before, by the definition of the regime, these people were nonetheless Jews because their religion was not important. What was important was that they allegedly belonged to a race, to a genetically defined ethnicity, and that thus their religious behavior was irrelevant. And the churches meekly accepted this and, you know, excluded their Jewish communicants from religious services already in the 1930s. And this is part of what paved the way for the German people who had a lot of information about the murder of the Jewish people during the Holocaust, to turn a blind eye. I mean, I have a whole chapter about this in my book, about what mm-hmm. the German people knew. And I think one of the clearest conclusions you can draw from that episode is that the German people received an enormous amount of information about the murder of Jews, and that they talked about it hardly at all. They seem to have been completely indifferent, with complete coldness. And
exactly.
Yeah. But if I may, you know, I'd like to kind of zero in. I wouldn't necessarily talk about a moral breakdown specifically in German society, but I think that there are there are three factors that come in time that help to explain what I think is the distinctive feature of the Holocaust that we most need to understand. Because I spent decades trying to figure out how to explain in a concise manner why this happened, and mm-hmm. it's incredibly difficult to do, Bill, because.
Yeah.
The chain of events that lead up to this, you know, with what went on in German politics, the rise of Hitler, the Nazi Party, and so on and so forth, it's a very long and complicated string of events. You can drown in the details. And what people, and it keeps people from seeing, I think, that what is most essential and what really sets the Holocaust apart from all other episodes of mass killing, what kind of makes the Holocaust the Holocaust, and that is that in this particular point in time, the ruling class of our most advanced society chose to affirm that individual human life had no intrinsic value whatsoever.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you right there. I'm gonna let our audience think about that, because that is a powerful sentence that you just laid out. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Dan McMillan. Stay right there.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. That's 800-823-9853.
And as we IR, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're commemorating the 80th anniversary of one of mankind's darkest chapters, the Holocaust. The renowned historian author reveals what really caused this tragedy. Find out how hatred and hysteria collided, leading to a horrific genocide that forever changed our world. Dan McMillan is with us. He is the author of the book, How Could This Happen? Explaining the Holocaust. Dan, I want you to pick up to the end of the first segment. You were talking about, your search for decades to figure out how do you succinctly capture the history of what happened and to be able to put it forth, because even to this day, it's not like 100% of humanity believes the Holocaust even happened.
That's right, Bill, and I'm glad that you flagged that. And I think that one reason why Holocaust denial gets as far as it does is that it is so difficult to make it comprehensible to people, and it's so difficult to make it comprehensible because there's an enormously long and complex political story that leads up to this event, and you easily drown in the details. And so what I want to focus on what I think is really most important for people to understand, and that is to say probably the best way, the most important cause of the Holocaust was, above all, that the people who did this saw absolutely no reason to not do it, because three important factors came together in that place and time that robbed human life of all value in the eyes of Germany's elite, people, men who proudly affirmed in word and deed that, you know, an individual human life has no intrinsic value whatsoever. And, you know, if we could go back in time and ask these people why they were doing something so unbelievably cruel, I feel certain that most of them would say to us, they'd shrug their shoulders and they'd ask us, why not? They're just people. Mm. And the question is, how did human life lose all value in this really otherwise very comfortable and privileged elite of this advanced society? It's worth acknowledging that in every war, in every genocide, every massacre, killers dehumanize their victims and human life gets cheapened. But in the Holocaust, the dehumanization of the victims was total. The loss of the value of human life was complete. And I see three factors above all that came together in just a remarkable and I think unrepeatable sort of perfect storm of circumstances. One is just the shattering loss of life in the First World War. 10 million young men killed on the field of battle, including more than 2 million Germans. The whole population of Germany was 66 million at that time. If you scale those losses up to our population of 330 million, it would be as if we had just come off a war where we had 10 million killed in action, not to speak of the wounded. And that really lowered drastically the threshold for violence in the minds of everyone in European politics. Without it, the crimes of Hitler and Stalin are inconceivable. Historians are kind of in agreement on that. And that's one part, sort of the drastic cheapening of life, the acceptance that killing people by the millions is just a normal fact of political life. Mm-hmm. And Adolf Hitler, it's really that 4 years of service on the Western Front in World War I is really, more than anything else, what made Adolf Hitler a killer. The second is social Darwinist racism. This was a moment in sort of the intellectual development of the Western world where people, and this is the ruling classes, all educated people in pretty much all Western societies, accepted what was really a simplistic application of Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection to human society. They thought that wars between countries were a good thing rather than a bad thing, because over time, fit races or nationalities would exterminate unfit races and nationalities and lead to the improvement of the gene pool and the betterment of humankind. They also felt, not just felt, but believed and saw as scientific fact, the idea that every ethnicity, like Germans, Italians, Irish, Poles, Jews, was itself al- almost a separate race, not a single human race as we know ourselves to be today, but each with their own genetic signature and with inbred characteristics and behavioral traits. And this opened the door to the idea that many branches of humanity had little value or no value, and one in particular, the Jews, were hardwired for for destructive behavior, and the only way to deal with them was to kill them, because they could
exterminate
not be converted.
Right.
And the final factor is the hardest to get your mind around, but it's sort of the most important, which is to say that because the German people were so desperate in 1933 at the breakdown of their economy and of their political system, it's a moment when people will often look to will hope for a savior of superhuman abilities to rescue them, because all other reasons for hope have fallen away. And Hitler comes into this moment, this sort of political vacuum, where people are craving a strong man to solve the problems. And he then has an eight-year run of spectacular successes, of which the most important really is that Germany goes from 30% unemployment to full employment in only 4 years by 1937. Also, the lightning-fast defeat of France and England in the spring of 1940, and other successes as well. So that by the time the Holocaust began, Germans did not just see Hitler as an all-powerful tyrant, which he was, but really as a kind of demigod, as a man of destiny who shaped history, and as someone who stood above and outside all moral and legal norms. And this belief in Hitler's special genius and even supernatural qualities, his connection with divine providence, which is how he saw himself, I am an instrument of providence, this dissolved moral and legal norms. It dissolved morality. Hitler, in the eyes of his people, and especially of his most fanatical followers in the SS, operated in a kind of norm-free space, of a space free of law and morality, and so did anyone who carried his commands. And therefore, the people who ran the death camps and the shooting squads, even if they were uncomfortable with what they were doing, or perhaps were troubled by the suffering of the people they were murdering, nonetheless felt that if Hitler commands this, by definition, it is morally acceptable. And that is a political system, as I say, that has never existed before or since, and is hard to imagine happening again. I mean, Stalin or Mao Zedong, they were all powerful in the sense that they could kill anyone they wanted, and you couldn't oppose them, but they were not worshipped in the way that Hitler was. That we've never seen at any other time in history, and that combined with the other two factors I name created this unique moment where human life lost all value whatsoever, and I think this is the reason more than any other why the Holocaust is the only historical event that frightens us, and therefore the only event that people around the world, millions of people, are willing to deny. Because, and when you think about it, really, Bill, I mean, I think all of us would prefer to believe that something like this was not possible. And if someone gives you if someone who sounds authoritative gives you an excuse to believe that it wasn't possible, to doubt it, it doesn't, I mean, I don't want to defend anyone who embraces denial, because it's disgusting. But I think I can see a lot of sort of misguided people out there who are frightened by this event. And when some vicious anti-Semite comes to them and says and offers some spurious information, they get off the internet and said this didn't happen, you can see how people would let themselves be hoodwinked. Because it's just so, this is the only, as I say, the Holocaust is terrifying. Other massacres, other wars, they make us sad. They don't scare us. And that's kind of the difference.
Did this reduce us to our lowest common denominator? We only got about 18 seconds left here, Dan. So, gosh, we gotta have you back as always to discuss this. I just so appreciate your historical insight in helping us remember and commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Holocaust. Dan McMillan has been our guest. Thank you, Dan.
Water is one of our planet's most important resources. Yet people around the world struggle with access to safe drinking water. The IBM Sustainability Accelerator works to improve equitable access to safe drinking water for all, improve water quality by reducing pollution, increase water use efficiency, and reduce the number of people suffering from water scarcity. Organizations and initiatives pursuing these water management-focused goals can apply to the program between March 13 and the end of May 2023. Justina Nixon-Santil, IBM VP and Chief Impact Officer.
Water management for the world's most vulnerable communities is a tremendous challenge. Following our first two cohorts on sustainable agriculture and clean energy, we look forward to working with organizations with scalable technology solutions that support communities with water challenges, including shortages, pollution, or conservation.
Visit ibm.com/impact/initiative. This is sponsored by IBM.
USA News Update. A field hearing in Manhattan, New York this morning by Republicans in the House Judiciary Committee is expected to contend that Democrat D.A. Alvin Bragg is focusing on former President Trump instead of crime. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says New York City is the safest big city in America.
Well, we should be clear that New York City is the safest big city in America. And that is often a loss when you see a dangerous act highlight. My job as mayor is to make sure New Yorkers and visitors feel safe in our city. And we're doing that. We're doing that every day.
A witness scheduled to appear is Jennifer Harrison on Fox News This Morning responds.
It's reprehensible. And it's completely out of touch with reality.
We are awaiting the world's biggest rocket expected to take off from South Texas this morning, the SpaceX Starship. Lance Pry, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. We've got Dr. Paul Kengor back with us. Always good to be talking with Paul. We've got some fun stuff to talk about and also some serious things to talk about. The professor himself is the senior director and chief academic fellow for the Institute for Faith and Freedom and professor of political science at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Good. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Lots to talk about here. But before we get into Brandon's gas problems, that boy, I'll tell you, you got to blame him. I mean, let's just face it. The cost of gas and inflation, everything. These are directly tied to the policies that we've been suffering under for the last two plus years of one Joe Biden. But before we get there, I want to talk about the leaks that came out, and that we've got a 21-year-old Air National Guardsman who was arrested for leaking classified military documents. And the first thing that came to mind is, how do you have somebody 21 years old that has access to this high level of information? That was, to me, a bit incredulous.
Yeah, and he's, what, reserves or National Guard, too?
Yeah, Air right. National Guardsman, yes, exactly.
Yeah, and in Massachusetts, he's very young. And, you know, I've been following it closely, and I read somebody this morning who, a quoted intelligence analyst who wasn't identified, and he said something like, oh, do not underestimate what this might mean about our enemies. And sure, that might be true, but this kid, I mean, this young young man who was leaking this stuff is like sharing it in chat rooms on social media with his buddies. I think it's more likely, Bill, that this is just somebody, you know, kind of modern millennial, modern generation type who, you know, gets access to this stuff and just thinks you can post anything online. Right.
Exactly. That's my thought. That's my thought exactly. I didn't think that this kid was, you know, trying to liberate the free world or really expose it. It was like some kid who came alongside and found, oh, look at this. It kind of looks like a bomb. I'm not sure what to, you know, hey, guys, what do you think about this? You know, it was more inquisitive than it was purposeful, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't Snowden. It's not the Rosenbergs.
Yes, right.
You know, this isn't Klaus Fuchs. You know, this isn't, you know, giving the bomb from the Manhattan Project to the Ruskies, you know, to Stalin and the Soviets. I think it's just somebody with who's too young to have access to this kind of information, and which itself presents a problem. And it really makes you wonder, you know, who's overseeing this and who has control of access. And I'm sympathetic even to government overseers, whoever they might be. In this modern age of technology, it's really hard to keep things confidential, to keep them protected, to keep classified information classified. I mean, once anything goes up electronically anywhere, I've advised people over the years, and people above me have too, that they say, look, when you put something in an email, you forget about putting it on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. If you put something in an email, you might as well be writing to the world.
Yes.
Because whatever you write there, and I have, you know, one of the people that I work with here at Grove City College, he's a lawyer. He's been a lawyer by training his entire life. And you know, any time that he wants to communicate anything to me sensitively, I get a phone call. It's not, he knows better than to put it in an email, because the minute you put it in an email, I can forward it, or actually it's owned by whoever owns all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like there forever for anyone to get a hold of.
Right.
So I did in my book, The Crusader, which came out in 2006, and you and I have talked about this before. I'm the guy that broke the reported the document, the what was it, May 1983 KGB document on Ted Kennedy, that Kennedy reaching out to the Soviets, that got just a huge amount of attention when I reported it. And that, you know, that was never online anywhere. And so, you know, in the old days, these documents were hard copies. And if you want to find them, you've got to fly to Moscow and get access to the KGB archives. Mm-hmm. And go somewhere and find it. But today, it starts online, it ends up online, and it's only a matter of time before somebody gets a hold of it and starts circulating it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, the thing that comes to mind here for me, Paul, is that, look, leaks abound. I mean, our government is like Swiss cheese for leaks. They hold nothing. I don't care. It's a Supreme Court decision. I mean, they let stuff go out conveniently. This is I've been telling our audience, this is the coin of the realm, is all this information that you're not supposed to know about, and it leaks out conveniently for political expediency. And so,
well,
you know,
that's right. Yeah.
And then on top of that, when you consider who's leaking, half the time it's people who have no credibility. I mean, the CIA, as one expert reported, is the CIA was born to lie. And everything they say, and they're justified, they're actually, you know, it's almost like they have a legal premise to lie. So you really can't believe anything that they say, and anything in the government seems to follow the same, you know, the same line. So here you are, you're saying things, you get this information, and everybody's in shock over it. Some people not so much so, because they understand that, you know, hey, this stuff's out there. They're going to spin it. They're going to lie about it. And you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to get attacked because, you know, she says, well, you know, Jake Teixeira, Tishara is a white male Christian and anti-war. And of course, everybody's heads exploded over that because, you know, here she is. She's on a committee that probably, you know, should keep her you know, from making a statement quite like that, but it's okay. I'm not offended by it. But some people, like Lindsey Graham, wanted to get offended by it, so big whoop, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it's sad to hear you say this, but it's true about our intelligence agencies. I mean, there's never been a time where they've become as ideological, right, and as politicized, and we saw that during the Trump years when they became weaponized and when people leak information for political advantage. And of course, you know, they feel, and this is so true with everybody on the left, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they feel justified in doing this. Because they feel morally justified in whatever position that they have. It's like, oh yeah, they could do this because after all, you know, we have fascists in the White House right now.
Well,
So they feel they're like dissidents, you know, people in Vichy France, you're fighting against the occupation by the Nazis.
Right.
And I try to tell people on the left all the time. I have a former student who I was arguing with about this stuff. I said, look, just say no. Okay. And I know you feel that you're right on this issue. All right. But don't transgress this principle, right? You're not supposed to share that information or do this particular thing. Just hold the line on it, because once you think that you can do it for that reason, then you're going to come up with another reason.
But
you're not allowed to do that, so don't do it.
See, we're just talking with Dan McMillan in his book, How Could This Happen? It's all about the Holocaust. This is the week, 80th anniversary of the Holocaust. And he talked about, you know, this psychological mind melt that took place. These are my words, not his. But how it was all just so gentle, just a nice, gentle turn. And before you know it, you're over the top. I mean, there's no restraint. There's no moral compass in what's going on. And to me, what I'm seeing happening in the CIA, hey, look, they've been doing this for decades. I mean, they've been going in involved in regime change and doing all the shenanigans overseas. And now it's as if they've come home to do it to us, Paul.
Well, and with the, you know, these cultural revolutionaries that are coming out of our, you know, higher ed establishments and going into these groups, this might seem like a leap of logic that I'm taking here, but you look at Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light with Dylan Mulvaney, who, you know, this is a male who, among other things, in addition to being an advertising, you know, a poster girl or poster boy for Bud Light, was I think also advertising for tampons at one point. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, where are the feminists to be insulted by this? I mean, Dylan Mulvaney can drink beer, but you know, he can't use tampons.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. But my connection to what you were saying there before, Bill, is that you get these kind of educated elites from the Ivy League. They're left-wingers.
I'll tell you what, let's pick it up on the other side. More from Paul after this.
For the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-247-1498. That's 800-247-1498. How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez with you, along with Dr. Paul Kengor, the Senior Director and Chief Academic Fellow for the Institute for Faith and Freedom and Professor of Political Science at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. Paul, I want you to pick up where we left off. We kind of had to crash into a round of commercials. So
sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was making the point about oddly connecting the whole intelligence thing to Anheuser-Busch and Dylan Mulvaney, that the common link here, Bill, is you have these kind of modern young educational elites out of our universities, and they are revolutionaries. They are ideological revolutionaries. Mm-hmm. They're cultural revolutionaries. And, you know, they might, you know, they get a hold of the boardroom and, you know, the corporate wheel at Anheuser-Busch and, you know, despite what their clientele is, or you know, a bunch of guys who go to NASCAR and drink beer, you know, you'd think it'd be the craziest thing in the world to hire someone like Dylan Mulvaney to be your national spokesman. You'd probably want to hire somebody like, you know, Travis Tritt or somebody that.
Somebody that fits that's consistent with the brand and the people that it's serving, right?
Yeah. But instead you get somebody who's just out of Harvard, like, I've got an idea. Why don't we get Dylan Mulvaney? He's wonderful, you know, or she's wonderful. And everyone else is kind of, you think maybe somebody would step up and say, no, that's a bad idea. But they're all there in the same group, and they're all hired from these like MBA programs at Penn and Harvard and Wharton and these other places. So you got this utter, complete, 100% disconnect between the new people hired to run these organizations and the entire clientele. But it's the same, and they morally justify what they're doing because they think they're right and they could give a damn about everybody else that disagrees with them. And that same kind of attitude comes into some of these people who are coming out of the same Ivy League institutions that end up working for the federal government. And once again, so they will leak something. They'll break the law, undermine something if it involves you going against, you know, that fascist Donald Trump.
Right.
So they find ways to morally justify it based on the ideology and politics that they're taking with them into their jobs, whether corporate boardrooms or running the bureaucracy in D.C., that they're bringing with them out of their ideological insane asylums at our horrible universities.
I think you give them too much credit by even mentioning any level of morality. They're amoral.
Right.
I mean, if the truth be known, I mean, because they've lost sense of any kind of moral compass whatsoever. Paul, this is ridiculous that you allow people, I don't care what kind of, degree you have, brand development, brand identification. This takes decades. This takes lots of years to invest, and all of a sudden you're going to let somebody fresh out of school, to me, that's like picking up a bomb. Oh, look at this. Hey, guys, this is bomb year. I mean, you don't even understand what it represents, what it means. And
well, they do it all the time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what they're doing.
Look at the NFL.
Yes.
Look at the NFL, which releases a bunch of ads on NFL is gay, right? NFL is transgender. NFL is LGBTQ. And you're thinking, whoa, what's the NFL doing this way? Have they been to any of their games?
Yeah,
exactly. In Pittsburgh and saying, what are they doing here? And then hockey, forcing NHL players to wear gay pride logos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have any idea who's going to your games?
Exactly.
But these revolutionaries are so blind and so committed to their ideologies that they'll go into and hijack these organizations. The Boy Scouts, right?
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR, Bud Light. They're really out of their mind.
Well, the movie makers the same thing, Paul. Movie makers same thing. Look what happened to Disney. How many billions of dollars had they lost? And and comparatively, look what happened with Mario Brothers 3. There was a lot of pressure on them to go LGBTQ in that movie, and they said, "Hey, get out of here." Brothers, we don't do no LGBTQ. Get out of here.
Right.
And look at it. Look at them. $400 million at the box office. Look what happened to Buzz Lightyear, Disney. They went all woke. You go woke, you go broke, and this is the saying, this is the reality. But, for a minor percent, I mean, it's estimated, less than 2% really identify with LGBTQ. The rest of the planet here, the rest of the country, is accommodating them, and the tail is shaking the dog, and you get all this wacky stuff going on. I mean, Paul, I was shocked. I mean, I'm watching the country music awards, and next thing you know, you got men dressed up as women dancing on stage at a country award event. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's right. Well, and they get away with a lot of it. I mean, with Disney, what was the show with the two young girls that animated and the princess? Oh, why can't I think of it? The Snow. But Elsa, was that her name?
Oh yeah, you're talking about. I'm saying
ice. Two old guys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, forgive us. Yeah, hold on. Frozen. That's what it was.
Frozen. But yeah, they'll do this. They'll do this. Pro LGBTQ stuff in the sequels, and they get enough middle aged women who are still willing to take their daughters to these things, and then the people at Disney say, oh, okay. Well, the conservatives huff and puff and scream about this on social media, but this really isn't hurting us at the box office, so we'll just go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do, and they often get away with it. Yeah, we can hijack the Boy Scouts. Look, we can do this. We can get away with it. In the case of Bud Light, people are actually fighting back.
Exactly.
And I watch it. I follow the coverage of it on Fox News, and they've been reporting, Anheuser-Busch has lost $6 billion and so forth. I'm like, wow, that's a lot. And then I look at it, and it's a drop of about 5 or 6%. And I think, I don't know, man.
But it's enough. The CEO has come out and spoke against it. The board said, we didn't know about this campaign.
Well,
I mean, to your earlier point, this stuff is happening, it's released. I mean, amazing. Here it is. Again, the lack of responsibility to the brand. and the future of the company to take a hit like that. This is amazing. So I'm sure people are, again, they're starting to, you know, take a second look at their investments because of DEI, which my good friend Megan Barth calls DIE, you know, that's being imposed on, you know, corporate America in all sorts of ways that they have to comport. And now they've already instituted their own kind of social credit scoring at the corporate level. So yeah, this is scary stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis, I heard him speak in Pennsylvania in Harrisburg a couple weeks ago. He called it division, exclusion, and indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he labeled DEI, which is spot on.
Yeah, exactly. But DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, you got to turn it around because that equals die. And that's what's happening.
That's right.
It's become die.
Especially in our universities. Yeah, you get one of these implemented, one of these offices at a university, they will destroy it.
Exactly.
They will destroy it. And they will psychologically, ideologically blackmail any professors, including, I hear from these guys, Bill, liberal professors at colleges. I've heard from them at my alma mater, University of Pittsburgh, who say, please don't forward this email. Please don't tell anyone I said you this. But we are so upset about this. You know, this is destroying the university.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing this with the curriculum. We hate it. We hate it. We hate it. And they can't speak out against it because these ideologues running these die offices will just destroy them.
Yeah, without a doubt. Paul, about less than 3 minutes left here. I did want to talk about your family vacation for fun, because we say when it comes to the ever-increasing gas prices, yes, it is Brandon's fault, right?
That's right. Well, yeah, so we did a recent trip to Florida, and it's about a 15-hour drive from where we live in western Pennsylvania. And, in fact, on the way down, we took a kind of a circuitous route because I had to go through D.C. But ultimately, we went through Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, Georgia, Florida. And the gas prices, especially in my home state of Pennsylvania,
Tell everybody though what you're driving here. I mean, you're not driving some little Volkswagen or something, you know.
Yeah, driving a 2010 Ford E350 12-passenger silver van.
Mm-hmm.
We call it our Baptist church van, although we're Catholics.
Catholic.
It looks like a Catholic homeschooling family van. It's got pro-life bumper stickers on the back. It's got a couple holes in the back. Barely passes inspection. Had to put a new transmission in it, 220,000 miles on it. But it has a 30-gallon gas tank. And in the era of Joe Biden, in fact, I filled it up again yesterday. It was $3.70 a gallon. It cost me about $111 to fill that thing up.
Yeah. I wouldn't let my gas tank go less than half because I can't handle the shock, you know, of filling it up and getting, you know, getting close to the 100. But you're blowing the $100 mark every time you go to the gas station.
Every time. Yep. Been that way since Joe Biden was a few months after he was inaugurated. But as we know, it's all the fault of the Russians and Vladimir Putin.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And the Saudis. It's everybody else's fault except for the policies that are clearly. And what's going on here is we're seeing also more studies where you've got the flight out of blue states. They've had it with Texas. They've had it with, the encumbrances that come along with the Democratic Party philosophy.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida were the cheapest gas price states when we traveled.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't map out the cheapest states you could go through and maybe put it in neutral when you went through those states where it was so pickin' expensive, man.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
I can guarantee you some of our audience members, that's how they're taking their family vacations, and say, okay, where can we get the cheapest gas? That's where we're going, you know, when we'll romanticize about everything else. Well, Dr. Paul Kengor has been with us. Paul, as always, appreciate it. Take care, buddy.
Concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated? Try.